2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, and just put it up there and hold it there. I'm teaching from the subject, faith works. Faith works. And we're talking specifically about the law of faith. This is our third lesson teaching on the law of faith and our final lesson teaching on the law of faith. And we're learning that faith is like a puzzle, and to understand the faith puzzle, we have to put the pieces together. So we've talked about the focus of faith, and this is our third lesson teaching on the law of faith. Romans chapter 3, 27 says that faith is a law. So what have we learned in our first two lessons? We've learned that faith is an equal opportunity law. In other words, God established the law of faith so that every Christian will have a fair chance to win in life. Secondly, we've learned that the law of faith is a universal principle. It works 100% of the time. It is worked. It works the same way every time, regardless of circumstances or personal limitations. It works for everyone. And then in our last lesson, we learned that the law of faith supersedes natural laws, supersedes natural laws. Now, we're going to conclude our this teaching on the law of faith by looking at this, that the law of faith supersedes human limitations. Say human limitations.
Human limitations.
Now, we've defined the word supersede means to set aside. It means to make inferior, override, suspend. And I'm saying that God has given us something that will override our limitations, human limitations. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Here's the first major statement, and we're going to look at that verse there. We're going to look at that verse in a moment. But here's the first major statement. Listen at this. Everyone has limitations. Everyone has what?
Limitations.
Everyone has limitations. Everyone. You have limitations. I have limitations. We have limitations. And as a local church, we're going to have some limitations. We're going to come up against some things, and there are going to be things in your life and in my life that expose our limitations. Okay? So Paul, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, he came up against a situation that he called trouble. We don't know the nature of the trouble. It was some kind of challenge that he was facing. But the scriptures lets us know that this challenge or this trouble that he faced exposed his limitations. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were," now notice this, pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. Now notice carefully, he said that this situation that we were facing, this trouble that we came up against, it says that we were pressed out of measure. In other words, he's saying we were completely overwhelmed. Completely overwhelmed. There'll be times in your life where you'll feel, we're talking about feelings now, you'll feel completely overwhelmed by the situation or the circumstance or the condition. So he says we were pressed out of measure. We were completely overwhelmed. And then he says above strength. Say above strength.
Above strength.
In other words, he said the situation that we were facing was beyond our own strength. It was beyond our own ability, beyond our own wisdom. We couldn't figure out how to get out of this situation. We couldn't figure out how to deal with this situation. It was beyond, above measure means to be beyond our ability to stand or endure. In other words, we felt like we weren't going to be able to make it. He said we despaired even of life. The situation looked hopeless. In other words, Paul came up to a situation that expose his limitations. And that's what's going to happen in life. You're going to come up against situations. And those situations are going to expose your limitations. Now, we all have limitations, but much of the time, they're not exposed. They're only exposed when we come up against something that's beyond our own strength, beyond our own ability. Now, let's talk about human limitations. Human limitations. So what, and in a minute, you can go ahead and put up verse 9, and in a minute we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. But let's talk about limitations. What are human limitations? Human limitations are conditions, restrictions, weaknesses, perceptions, boundaries, conditions, restrictions, weaknesses, perceptions, boundaries. Now watch this. That limit our opportunities, limit our access, limit the quality that we can bring to the table. And sometimes these limitations limit our level of achievement. Limit our level of achievement. Limitations allow some actions and make others impossible. Wow. Wow. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to think for a moment, what are your limitations? I'm going to ask you where you want to go in life. What do you want to experience in life? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to do? What do you want to have in life? And then I want you to think about, okay, what is limiting you? What are the limitations that you're facing? So let's look at some limiting factors. I'll give you a list of limiting factors. Sometimes limiting factors is education. Sometimes it can be too little education. What I want to do, I don't have the education or the level of education. Sometimes it can be too much education. Sometimes limiting factor can be experience or lack of experience, training or lack of training, credentials or lack of credentials. Sometimes limiting factors can be intelligence. Sometimes limiting factors can be skin color. It can be skin color. Sometimes limiting factors can be age. They say you're too old. Or maybe they say you're too young. Sometimes limiting factors can be gender. Can be just the sex you are. It is still, it's still a fact of life that many females that work the same job make less than males make. So it may be just gender. Sometimes limiting factors are geographical location. I hear people say, well, in our area. You know, I hear people say that all the time. I hear people say, well, you know, the church can't do this, the church can't do that because of our area. I hear people talking about our area. And then sometimes limiting factors can be generational curses, predispositions, habits, things that were passed down from parents and grandparents. Sometimes limiting factors can be family health and history. Well, it runs in our family, see? It runs in our family. Sometimes it can be financial resources. I want this, want to do this, want to live here, want to have this, but I don't have the financial resources. Sometimes it can be credit history. you just don't qualify. Sometimes it can be medical report. Sometimes it can be a disability. Sometimes it can be a criminal record. Sometimes people are incarcerated, you know, and the Spirit of God is moving in prisons in our day. A lot of folk getting saved. And we got people in our church that have been incarcerated, been in prison, and now they're outside of prison. And sometimes when you've been incarcerated, you could get outside of prison, people won't give you a shot. Sometimes they look at your record and say, well, no, we can't hire you. That's a limiting factor. Sometimes it can be your own self-image. It can be your own personal self-image. It's your own sense of inadequacy. I was always smart in school, always smart in school. Always made great grades no matter what school I was at. I've gone to all black schools, predominantly white schools. I went to military school. I just excelled everywhere I went. But in high school, I would not take physics. I was an honor student. I was on honor list. Every school I went to, I was an honor student. Everywhere, but I wouldn't take physics. Never took physics. Probably would have done well in physics because I was smart. Can't you tell I'm smart?
Yeah.
I was smart. But I wouldn't take physics because I told myself it was too hard. So it wasn't the class that was a limiting factor. It was my self-image. It was what I felt. It was what I believed that was a limiting factor. So here's the issue. Think for just a moment. What do you want to achieve in life on a personal level? What do you want to be? What do you want to have? What do you want to do? Where you want to go? What do you want to experience? Now let me ask you a question. What's your limiting factor? What's limiting you from experiencing that? What's limiting you from having that? What's limiting you from achieving that? I'm teaching this for a reason, because one day as a church, we're going to be believing for things, and we're going to come up against some limiting factors. We came up against some limiting factors. We wanted to build facilities. We wanted to do things, and we had people say, you can't do that. You can't have that. You can't experience that. So what's your limiting factor? This, you've got to make faith practical. If it's not practical, you might as well throw your Bible away and go out and go to the party and have a good time. God has given you the law of faith, and the law of faith will supersede any limiting factor. So what's stopping you? Come on now, what's stopping you? What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Now, I want you to turn, I want you to look again at verse 9 and verse 10 of that same text. Verse 9 and verse 10. But here's the second statement. Remember the first statement? What was the first statement? You taking notes? What was the first statement? Huh? Everyone has limitations was the first statement. Here's the second statement. Human limitations do not limit God. Human limitations do not limit who?
God.
Human limitations do not limit God. Now let's look at verse 9. Can we go back to verse 8 and then let's walk down? He said, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's a limitation. Now look at verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. We couldn't trust in ourselves because we were limited. We didn't have the capacity. We were not going to make it, Paul says. So we had the sentence of death that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, see, but in God, which raises the dead. God raises the dead. Look at the next verse. Look at who delivered us. He delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver. That's present tense. Past tense, he delivered us. Doeth deliver, present tense. And whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul said we was in a situation and it was above strength. We didn't have the capacity. It looked like we were not going to make it. We had the sentence of death in ourselves so that we would trust God. Because human limitations do not limit God. Now remember that. Human limitations, because your limitations will talk to you. Your conditions will talk to you. And you have to remember in the crucible of everyday life that human limitations do not limit God. Now, will you please turn over to Mark chapter 10. Say that human limitations do not limit God. Come on, say human limitations do not limit God. Say it again. Human limitations do not limit God. Now look at what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. It says, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men. It is. With men is what? Why? Because men have limitations. But not with God. But not with God. Why? Because human limitations don't limit God. But with God, all things are possible. Listen carefully. Listen now. Listen at this. Listen at this. Listen at this. What is impossible for others is possible for you. Now, if you're writing notes, you better write that down. I said, how many believers we got here? How many Christians? You say you're a believer. Now, watch this. Listen to me carefully. What is impossible for others is possible for you. What is impossible for others is what? Now, you have to believe that in the crucible of everyday life, that what is impossible for others is possible for me because I'm not by myself. You're not by yourself. The Bible said, with God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You said, I read that scripture before. That's not a new scripture, is it? How many ever seen that scripture before? That's not a new scripture, but it's time to believe it.
Yeah.
It's time for us to believe that what is impossible for others are possible for you.
Amen.
You have to have that in your head. You have to have that in your spirit. You have to have that in your mind because people all around you are going to talk about their impossibilities and their limitations, and you can't embrace it. You can't embrace it. You have to believe because you are a believer that what is impossible for others is possible for me.
Amen.
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 Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's talk about David and Goliath. Oh, anybody ever heard that story? Oh, listen, that man, nigga, went down to that church. That man told me stuff I already knew. I know it, but it's time for us to walk in it.
Yeah.
I know you know. I know that. I know where you're going to go. He took a rock and knocked the giant down, killed the giant. Took a sword and cut his head off, yeah. But let's dissect it. Let's look at it. Because when we look at this text, we see that David overcame some limitations.
Okay.
He overcame human limitations. He overcame what? Human limitations. Overcame human limitations. Now, we don't have to look time to look at the whole story, but Goliath was a big man. Come on, say a big man. Boy, he was a big dude. That guy was around about 10 feet tall. Oh, my God. You know, a regular basketball goal is about 10 feet. That guy couldn't even walk through that door. He was a big man, weighed about 600 pounds. Oh, he big dude. He big guy. I mean, big guy. His mail, the armor he had on weighed 125 pounds. The boy was tough. He had a spear. The head of his spear weighed 15 pounds. That thing hit you and nailed you up against a wall. I mean, he was a big guy. And he stand out there in the valley, see. He represent the Philistine. He come out in the valley.
Give me a man. Give me a man.
40 days he stood out there and all Israel ran, man. They ran. Saul and everybody. They ran. They ran, man. They ran. He stand out there. Give me a man. His voice beamed all through the community.
Give me a man.
And Israel fled. And one little old guy, teenager, he was a teenager, came on the scene and said, well, hey, what's going on? You know how teenagers say, well, hey, what's going on? he like, what's going on? I mean, everybody else running. That guy, teenager, man. He said, what's going on around here, guys? And that guy stood out there. David heard the same thing.
Give me a man.
David started saying, hey, what I get if I take that guy down? Teenager. Look at what it says in verse 28. In verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, because it was eight of them, he was the eighth. He was the youngest. Eliab, his other brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. That's his own brother, and said, why did you come down here? And whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for you are come down that you might see the battle.
Mm.
Next verse. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Next verse. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Next verse. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Next verse. And David said to Saul, let no man, teenager, he said, let no man's heart fail. Because of him, thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. Teenager! Woo! Look at the next verse. And Saul said to David, you're not able. See, sometimes people will put their limitations on you.
Come on, Doc. Yeah.
Now, the truth of the matter is they weren't able.
Whoa.
But just because they weren't able didn't mean David wasn't able. He said, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man from his youth. Sound like a limitation, isn't it? Sound like a limitation, isn't it? I gave you some other verses. Will you drop down? Because Saul armed David. Now watch this. It's going to be something. I'm going to teach you something. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. Saul armed David with what? With what? His armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of. I want you to look at that verse now. He armed him with what? His armor. Now, his armor didn't work for him. But he's going to give him something that didn't even work for him. Okay, next verse. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said for to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. David put them off. David put them off. David put them off. I'm going to teach you something now. David put them off. David put them off. David put them off. David put off his armor. David put them off. David put them off. David put them off. David put them off. The next verse. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a... Can you go back up to that verse? He put them off. He put them off. He put them off. Can you just go back to that next verse? And David girded his sword upon his arm, and he said to go, for he had not proved. David said to him, I cannot go with thee. Can you give me the 40th verse, the 40th verse, 40th verse, 40th verse? And he took a staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a sling in his hand. Now go back to the next verse. Go back to the next verse. I'm going to teach you something. Go to that bottom verse. Where you at? Okay, then David came to the Philistines. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies whom thou hast defied. Watch this. Watch this. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. And I will give it to the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Wow. Wow. Now we're talking about the law of faith supersedes human limitations. Now listen carefully. Let me walk you through this. David made a decision that changed his destiny, catapulted him over into his destiny, changed his life forever. Now let's talk about David overcoming several limitations. In the 16th chapter, we didn't look at it, but in the 16th chapter, God instructed the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king. Jesse, David's father, brought the sons out, brought 7 of the sons out, left David in the field with the sheep. So it appears to me that even his daddy did not have much confidence in him. So he had to overcome the limitations of his father's perception. He had to overcome his oldest brother's jealousy. He had to overcome Saul's doubt. You can't do it. You just a youth. He had to overcome his age. He was a teenager. You had to be at least 20 to join the military. His three oldest brothers were in the military, so we know they were at least 20. It was five of them left, and David was the oldest. So we know that they had to be under 19. So David, being the youngest child, had to be anywhere between 12 and 15 when he defeated the giant. Now that's a limitation, isn't it? Think about it. This guy is between 12 years old and 15. The guy that you read about is somewhere between 12 and 15 years old.
Wow.
12 and 15. That's a limitation. Now watch this. He had to overcome the lack of military training. No military training, no military experience. And the physical deficiencies. Now, a 12 to 15 year old, and he's standing up there going against a guy that's 10 feet tall, 600 pounds, armor weigh 125 pounds, and there's a good chance his armor weighed more than David.
Yeah.
And then when he stood out there in front of Goliath, the Bible said, disdained him. Say, you coming out here like you should be messing around with little puppies or somebody. The Bible said he cursed him. He said, you coming out here like I'm a little puppy? You need to be working with puppies. You don't come out here on this field with me. What you doing out here on this field with me? And David stood right back and said, I'm going to take your head off. He said, listen, that guy 12, 15 years old. He said, I'm taking your head off today. Watch this, he said, you coming at me with swords and shields.
Yes, sir.
I already took mine off.
Woo.
I come to you in the name of the Lord. The boy knows something about covenant. He understands this is covenant language. He says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Woo. Covenant means that your partner will stand for you.
Yes,
he understood the scriptures that when he stood out there, he wasn't fighting Goliath. God was fighting Goliath. So all he had to do was do his thing. It wasn't the rock that killed Goliath.
Come on, Doc.
It was his faith in his covenant. It was faith in his covenant. He overcame. Now, listen at this. David made a decision of quality that catapulted him into his destiny and altered his change, the change for life. Now, watch this. Listen carefully. The thing that changed his life forever is he took off Saul's armor. He took it off. What does that symbolize? He decided that he was not going to fight his giants through natural means. He took it off. See, to go up against the giant with Saul's armor, he had to go up against him with his limitations. And he never would have won, so he had to take it off. Now, I'm going to teach you something. Now, listen carefully. Adam sinned in the garden. And the scripture says that when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world, watch this now, and death by sin, right? So the moment Adam sinned, death came in, spiritual death. Watch this. Spiritual death means separation from God. Before the fall, watch me, I'm talking now. Before the fall, Adam was operating out of his spirit. Now, catch this. He was connected to God. He was operating out of his what?
Spirit.
He was operating out of spirit. Now, he was operating in natural power because the Bible said he had to work the garden. So he was operating in physical power. And he was operating in intellectual power because the Bible said he named all the animals. Got it? So he was using his intellect. And he was using his hand, listen carefully now, but he was not limited to it. His abundance was flowing out of his spirit.
Okay.
The moment that he transgressed and sinned, remember what God said? God said, curse shall be the ground for your sake. He says thorns and thistles shall it come. And then he says something very powerful. He says from the sweat of your face, you're going to eat. In other words, he said now that you don't have me, you're going to have to operate through your intellect and your hands. Intellectual power, physical power. So now watch this. He's going to experience life on a low level because he's trying to experience abundance through his intellect and his work.
My Lord, come on.
Now, David said, I can't go with these. I can't do it the natural way.
Right, come on.
I've got to do it the spiritual way.
Right.
Now, here's the challenge. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I don't want nothing from you. I'm just trying to help you. The reason why the church has operated at a low level and we've been the tail instead of the head, and the reason many Christians live on that low level and not a supernatural life is because we've been trying to succeed the way the world succeeds.
Okay.
With Saul's armor. We've been doing the same thing that the world does. Intellectual power, education, physical power, working hard. Now, are you against education? Absolutely not. I'm not against education. No, can you tell I'm educated? Can you tell I got education? I got a degree. My wife got a degree. My two kids got a degree. I'm pro-education. I believe you should educate your mind and reach your full capacity. Am I against hard work? Absolutely not. The Bible says that work was given before the curse, so work is not a curse. We should work. The problem Christians are doing, they are trying to win in life through intellectual power. I'm going to go to school. And they're limited to that. And they work at all these jobs, 3, 4, 5, 6 jobs. And so they're operating without spiritual power. So we're acting like people who are not saved. So we don't have an advantage. So we stand on our jobs and we just like everybody else, we don't have an advantage because we're trying to win through our degrees and win through our efforts. That's physical intellectual power. We've been given the spirit of faith that will cause us to supersede any limitations. Your intellect, I don't care. Now listen, I ain't against degrees. Your intellect is going to take you so far. There are people who have degrees that don't have jobs.
Right.
And there are people who are doctors and don't make much money. And there are Christians that work in 3 and 4 jobs trying to get ahead. 3 and 4 jobs trying to get ahead and breaking all their priorities and not spending time with their spouses, not spending time with their kids because they're trying to see the world's way.
Come on, Doc.
Sooner or later, the church is going to get this. Sooner or later, we're going to take off Saul's armor. And we're going to decide, I can't go with this. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law, please turn over to Mark 9, and I'll close right here. Joshua 1:8 said, watch this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. You observe to do according to all that is written there, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have what kind of success? Good success. Good success means I can have success and have a good marriage too. I can have success and have good relationship with my kids. I can have success and I can have health in my body. I can have, that's good success. When you're doing it the world way, you're going to have success, but it's going to be bad success. Is there anybody out there?
I'm
going to close here. The spirit of faith will supersede natural limitations. It's faith, y'all. It's our connection with God that gives us an advantage, not intellect. You're going to always meet people smarter than you.
My Lord.
And think about these people working all these jobs and still can't make it.
Come on.
Because they got Saul's armor. They're working just like they're acting just like sinners. And that's a curse. He said, out of the sweat of your face, you're going to work. Sweat. God never intended for us to win in life through sweat. Oh, Lord. I'll close right here. Let's look at Mark 9:23. Read it for me.
Jesus said.
Wait, everybody. Everybody, read it for me. I'll close here.
Jesus said unto him, thou canst believe. All men are apostles to him that believe.
Read it again.
Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe.
Now, I want to give you a text, but we don't have time to turn it. Just leave that up there. Just leave that one up there. I want to give you a text. We don't have time to turn because I'm getting ready to close. This is my first closing, okay? Psalm 7 to 8. Listen at this. Psalm 7 to 8, verses 22, 40 through 41. Psalm 7 to 8, verses 22, 40 through 41. It says that Israel limited God. A lot of people don't know this. You can limit God. And the Bible says they limited God because they didn't believe him. Here's another proof text. Mark 6:5-6. Mark 6:5-6. In Jesus' hometown, the Bible says he could there do no mighty work. Could not do any mighty works because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Come on, say unbelief. Now listen to me. This is my second closing. I got three. This is my second closing. Unbelief is not non-belief. We always believe in something or someone. Unbelief is misdirected belief. It is having more confidence in the limiting factors than we do in God. See, if you said, well, I wish I can't do this because I don't have the resources, financial resources, then it's your belief in that limiting factor that's causing you to be limited. Now, listen at this. Your limitations are not your major problem. Your major problem is what you believe about your limitations. That physics class was not my major problem. I probably would have done well in the physics class. It wasn't the class that was my problem. It was my belief about the class. It was my belief that I couldn't succeed in the class. So it's not our limiting factors that's the major problem. It's our belief in those limiting factors. We're believing in them and not believing in God, and God calls that unbelief. Unbelief is not non-belief, it's misdirected belief. Now let's look at this again. Read it again. This is my last closing. Read it again.
Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that
believes. So let me give you some closing statements. Your capacity to believe establishes the boundaries of what's possible for you. Your capacity to believe establishes the boundaries of what's possible for you. Watch this. If you can believe it, you can have it. According to that verse, if you can what?
Believe.
If you can believe it, you can what? You can have it. Listen at this. It is not important that others do not believe if you do. You want me to say that again? Okay. It is not important that others do not believe if you do. See, it doesn't matter what other folk think. Other folks say, well, you can't have this. You can't get a scholarship. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't be this. You can't do that. It's not important what others believe that you can't do. If you believe. If you believe, if you can believe, it's not what other folk think, it's what you can believe. I'm on Facebook and you need to be my friend. How many of you are my friends on Facebook? How many of you are not my friends? See, that's, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you anyway. The Bible said love your enemies. I put a post on Facebook, and this is what I said. It is your fault if you allow people to establish the limits of what you can achieve in life. It is your fault if you allow people to establish the limits of what you can achieve in life. It's your fault, because he said, if you can believe. That's what Jesus said to you, if you can believe. So if you allow others to establish limits on you, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's your fault. He said, if you can believe,